Blog Talk Radio.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. I've delivered from my enemy till all my fear have come. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Hey, 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 what is up, guys? You are tuning in to Roar Awakening here right now. You are listening worldwide. God bless you. Thank you for coming in and spending your time with me, your host, Daniel Bazuski of Awakening to Revival Ministry. Listen, I have a surprise for you guys tonight. I really do. God has been really doing a lot of cool, awesome things. But first, I want to, before we go into anything, I just want to declare this broadcast to God. I want to be able to, as I'm looking out of the balcony in our home, looking in Central Louisiana right now, I'm thinking about the crisis. I'm thinking about situations that, you know, some of us don't have to face and where others are. And I think about how the word of the Lord needs to be upon our hearts and our minds, even for other people. So before, we're going to just go ahead and pray in and seal people in as people are falling away, as people are dealing with their issues, dealing with their own sin, dealing with fear, dealing with sickness, dealing with all sorts of things that we may not know about. Let us stop and pray for them. Father, we thank you right now for the moment that we can sit in your presence, to sit and hear the word of God, to hear the message that you have, Lord, that you have orchestrated in heaven, that you have divinely put together. God, we just pray for people that are listening worldwide. God, we begin to just declare that the word of God begins to embed in our hearts and our minds once again, that we no longer just lay in a bed of comfort of your word, but that we would take it to heart for once and for all, God. That when we would hear the scriptures, God, that it would rest in our hearts and our minds, and it would become a foundation, not a pillow. Father, we just ask that the word of God would go forth and not return void. Lord, that it would enter the hearts and the minds and bring forth repentance. That it would change a person's perspective about the Father's heart, about what is Christians really like. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to walk in the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to have faith in Jesus Christ? What does it mean to follow after the fruit of the Spirit? What does it all mean? Father, we ask that you would begin to just come into this broadcast, God, and breathe your heavenly breath, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Bear witness in this ministry. Bear witness in this time, in this era, God. Lord, we lift up every person under the sound of our voice right now, God. And Lord, we ask that you would seal them in this time and this season to take heed and to hear the word of the Lord. Father, we just thank you right now for the safety and the refuge and the mighty fortress that you are to your people. Father, we ask and we pray, Lord, that you would comfort the hearts of those that are mourning and aching and pain, that are sick. Father, we ask that you would relieve them from the sickness and this doubt and unwavering faith. Father, we ask that you would awaken them to revival, that you would show them a better way, that the fire of God would burn once again in our hearts and our minds for people that are struggling. Father, I ask that even angels right now, God, come and bind up the enemy in the name of Jesus. Bind up every assignment over their lives, God. Bind up every tactic in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just ask that you would release the fire of God over this broadcast, that souls would come to you. Draw them in, Father, as we dive into this night and this broadcast about what it is really like about being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, if you're just now tuning in, if you don't know, I'm your host of Roar Awakening, right out of Revival, or Awakening to Revival Ministry. And tonight, you know, normally I have something mostly leaning towards the prophetic. But God wanted me to regress and speak about a foundational thing. And he said, wisdom is needed in this hour. Wisdom is needed in this hour. First of all, I want to just thank everybody, as Holy Spirit's reminded me, every person that's come on and is listening to the broadcast. God bless you guys, man. I really, really enjoy knowing that there are people that actually interact and come and actually listen to what the Lord is doing in this ministry and with people. And it's just an amazing thing to know that people that I've met, people that I've traveled to see, people that have helped me out, or people that have just followed this ministry for a while, tune in, listen into this, and realize that you are listening in with people across the world. This is a big, awesome thing. And I just want to thank you guys. But tonight I want to kind of have a good time. You know, the Lord's given me a word, you know, about wisdom. And I'm not going to be harping on the word wisdom, but God said that the beginning of wisdom is fear. And to fear the Lord, you want to know. You want to know him, and you want to understand and get to know him. And God said, I think people have forgotten to know me because they don't know what Christians really look like, being a Christian really looks like. A lot of people think it's very superficial. A lot of people think that it doesn't really matter. A lot of people think we should have to live a certain way. Another group of people think that it really doesn't really matter. Like, I live my life, you live your life. At the end of the time, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really concord to anybody else's opinion. And I'm actually gonna smash some of these statements. We do live a different lifestyle. It really does not matter at times. Hear me out. Hear my heart. It doesn't really matter at times a person's perspective of you, even though you're a Christian. They could be a Christian. We have a lot of that in the church, but not a lot in the actual church. So I wanted to talk to you about, you know, Christian. What does it really mean? And I have a really cool acronym for you that break it down, and then we're gonna dive into some scriptures. That's okay. But in John 1:12, it talks about the relationship with the Lord as a child. And the first letter that's with Christians is child. You are a child of God. What does it mean to be a Christian? You must learn to become like a child again. Dependent, humble, sincere, learning, ever growing. So Jesus said that there was many times that we would have to study to show ourselves approved. Well, there would be many times that we would have to learn. And there was many times that Jesus even rebuked Peter and the other disciples because they were thinking that they knew things that they knew not of. So the relationship with the Lord is that you would become dependent. And Jesus said, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you would have to be likened to a baby, like a child again. You have to become in relationship with him. And, you know, again, we're going to talk about this. This might be far-fetched, but there are actual people out there who actually stopped wearing clothes and putting diapers on themselves, thinking that they had to become like little children again. That is not wise. And this is why masses of Christians or non-believers are afraid to go to church. They're afraid to know who God is, and they are lost and still confused. We are still in a very big season where God is trying to build his church. A lot of people are ready to give up and leave, hit the rapture and out the door. And I'm sorry to tell you, folks, God is not done. He's by far not even near done. We have yet to see greater things that we shall do in the works of the Lord. We have yet to see God move in such a way like Joel chapter 2. So there's a lot of things that God is wanting to do in this world. And so that should give you hope. It should make you understand that even though we face death in its face, our mighty God, who fought death, died and went to hell, kicked hell in its face, shoved his backbone down into the grave, came back with keys, and released the entire Old Testament prophets and apostles. And in Israel at that time had pretty much glorified ghosts running around their city. If you remember reading that in the book of Acts, We have a lot to really be thankful for, and as we're like coming into the prophetic times, yes, it's scary, but guys, I want you guys to know that the Lord wants you to trust in Him, and He wants you to know what it's really like to be a Christian, to be just a Christian, simple Christian. Doesn't mean that you aren't powerful. Doesn't mean that you don't have a great call. But what does it really mean to have faith? And what does it really mean? Like, what does it all mean? We get so lost in prophetic words and prophetic times and everything's going to hell and there's demons behind every bush and everybody doesn't know if it's a cult. And come on. Let's go back to some basics, some foundation. Let's get our mind in the Word of God, and let's get a foundation in our heart again, and let's get happy. Let's get happy about the Word of God. So we're at child of God, heir of God, the heir of God, is as his inheritance in the Lord. 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4 talks about the inheritance in the Lord. We are heirs to God, redeemed. We are called redeemed ones as to his being free by the Lord. We have been made redeemed. We have been made to be in an inherited state with him. We are made to have a relationship with him. We are now free within him. So now we have C-H-R. How about influence? Yes, as to his responsibility to the Lord. Right? Responsibility, him or her should have uphold the responsibility to being a Christian. You have an influence in the world. Wherever you're at, let me just let you know that sometimes you are put in the darkest positions so that you are the actual influence that people look at. And while people may dislike you, discredit you, spit upon you, hate you, ridicule you, persecute you, you are the influence, and the responsibility to that is to obey the Lord. It doesn't mean that you give up. It doesn't mean that you give out. It doesn't mean that you question from time to time. It simply means that God has you in a season to quicken you, to sharpen you, to mold you, and to never punish you. Many people have said, and I've heard this in churches, I've heard this in revival meetings, that you should just leave your job because, you know, if you're being mistreated, you should leave this or leave that. If God is not telling you to do this or that, then don't do it. You could be the only influence that rebellious, wicked, twisted, perverse generations get to see. Hello. You might miss out on the miracle because you walk out because of your feelings rather than the facts of what Jesus is doing in the earth with you. Whew, that was a mouthful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How about soldier? We got C-H-R-I-S, soldier, as to fighting for the Lord. Oh, yeah. We must wage a good warfare with our prophetic words. God does honor prophetic. Hello. The spirit of prophecy is no other than Jesus Christ himself. So, yes, as a Christian, we will have prophetic words, and we will learn how to wage war. We will learn how to be soldiers. We will learn how to wage a good warfare concerning our prophecies, you know, 2 Timothy 2 and 3, or 2 and 3, yes. What about temple? A temple. We're called the temple of God. As accompanying, being accompanied by the Lord, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. There's no junior Holy Spirit that's inside of you guys. You're the temple. He's Holy Spirit, and it's without measure. It's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's no you need to get more of the Spirit. There's none of this like going deeper with the Lord and getting a full measure of the Spirit. That's not the same thing. Going deeper with the Lord is an entirely different concept of you being filled by the Spirit. You can pour yourself out into people and need to be fueled by the Holy Spirit, but when Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you are absolutely full without measure. full. You need to continually be filled, but every time the Holy Spirit fills you, it's with his fullness and his measure of his authority and of his power. People talk about how we don't have the fullness of the Godhead. People talk about we need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives and say that like we don't have enough, that we've been hindered and the Spirit's been quenched and all these things. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, there's no Holy Spirit 1.0, Holy Spirit 2.0. No, it's Holy Spirit inside of you. If you are quenching the Spirit of God in you, you need deliverance. You need to repent from things that you need to be made aware of, and he will teach you that. He says that you need not a man to teach you, but Holy Spirit, the one that will teach you, not only deliver you, but empower you from sin. That's how you get your house in order. You get right with God. You listen to the Holy Spirit. You get into scriptures. You get alone with Holy Spirit, and you get full of his measure, not full of this fluff and stuff that you see on Facebook. I follow a group of people on Facebook, but not a lot of times do I follow them because of what they say. I follow them because of who I know to pray for and what thing is going on in the world that I can watch and pray. Not everything that I like is always condoned by me or condoned by God, but because it's very likable and it's very relatable and usable in context and marketing, a lot of people eat it up. But when it comes down to them and the Lord, they are wrecked. They're desolated in their relationship. They don't feel empowered when they wake up. They have no discipline in their life. And here's the reasons why, guys, because you don't know what it looks like to be a real Christian. Everybody's falling after everybody else and not after Jesus Christ. It's very sad. I found myself doing this a long time ago as well. And if I'm not careful, I can actually follow after a blueprint of someone else that I find inspirational. And it's okay that we have people that inspire us, but are they inspired by the Holy Ghost? Come on. It's okay to have people that inspire you, but are they inspired by the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Shanda Bakul. Speaking about inspiration, I, the letter I. The instrument. So we had C-H-R-I-S-T-I, instrument, to be used by the Lord. The members of our body are used to service God. We are being used like an instrument from heaven. We are being used to raise a sign and awareness and a song. We're being used as an instrument. Imagine God picking you up and playing you right now. When he plays you, are you in tune? Woo! Holy Ghost, have your way. Ha ha. When he picks you up, are the drums in tune? Are the drums broken down and beaten? Are the pianos in key? Are you tuned in? Are you plugged in? What about if he picks you up in your guitar or harp? Do you have your strings ready to go? Are they going to snap and break under the tension, under the pressure of the world? Hey, shanda bako, heramabase, heramashondoko. Hallelujah. You know I'm teaching good tonight. Shambaruko rebeke shanda bako. Hallelujah. What about ambassadors? Being an ambassador for Jesus Christ as the representation of the Lord, right? We learn to be an ambassador of how to represent the Lord in from heavenly places into the governmental realms and in our communities, in our homes. We must be an ambassador. What does it mean to be an ambassador? It means to represent a foreign state. You're in a place that's not, you don't belong there. Even though you have citizenship in America or Africa, or wherever you're listening to worldwide. God bless you. But you are an ambassador and a son of God first. Your citizen in heaven is way bigger and way more important. Last one, new man. You are a new man in Christ as to his attitude towards the Lord and the world. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that you are no longer an old creature, but you are now a new creature in heaven because God has given you a newness of mind and a new walk. Now, that is the acronym that I wanted to share. You, a child of God, an heir of God, you're redeemed, an influencer, soldier, the temple of heaven, an instrument, an ambassador, and a new man. And a new man. That's what a Christian looks like so far. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you right now. We glorify you, Father, to have your way, Lord, to have your way over this broadcast. So as we go in and dive in a little deeper, I want to talk to you about the ways of what a Christian, like the foundations of a Christian, right? What does it look like in responsibility? What does it look like being branches? What does it look like being a friend of God? What does it look like stewarding what God gives you? What does it look like to be in influence, like we said? What is the salt? What does that mean? What is the salt of the earth? You know, Matthew 5:13. So, you know, those are questions a lot of people have, you know. The major thing that I want to talk to you first is about how to be a Christian. There is a process of how to be a Christian, and no, let me just tell you, it's not some crazy prayer. I'm sorry, that might have, like, upsetted some people. It's not a prayer. It's for you to get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, and once you do, you accept him. A lot of people use prayer as a way to say that you have to do that to be saved. You don't. Listen, Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you are saved through faith. The moment that you acknowledge Jesus Christ in your faith, the Bible says that God has given, excuse me, all people a proportion of faith. So you are saved by the grace of God through your faith. So how to become a Christian? Very simple. All you have to have is faith in Jesus Christ, that he died, he was raised from the dead, he rose on the third day, he sits at the right hand of the Father, he is the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he is the answer to all our problems and solution. He is in all things and created with all things and in through all things is him. So yes, as a person, we are also called to be sanctified. So how to become a Christian, you must go through a process that's called sanctification. The church of God, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, is in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. It talks about the process of sanctification. To be sanctified is to simply mean that the blood of Jesus is over your life, that you've been washed, cleansed of your sin, and now you begin to walk in the Holy Spirit. Once you understand this concept, sanctification is not this year-long, you know, 15-year process where I got to do right because I'm not saying, listen, hold on, saints. If you've been taught that you have to do this, that, and the third for over a period of time to be sanctified, it's a lie. If Jesus died on the cross for you and he saved you by the grace that God imputed to us through faith, and we began to be sanctified, our sanctification is in Jesus Christ. To be sanctified means that we are being washed clean, means that we become pure. We have become pure under the anointing of God and the washing and the regeneration of the Word of God, okay? So a sanctification process may take you time when you're dealing with behaviors, dealing with your soul, dealing with your mind, your mental faculty, the inner courts, and how that works. Even your outer flesh. Sometimes people are more likely to sin and walk in flesh for longer seasons, but doesn't mean that you're not sanctified. It simply means that you're waging against your soul. Your spirit is waging against the mind. The mind is waging against the spirit, which is pretty common for a Christian. It's pretty common. So don't beat yourself up. I want to digress into that. But, you know, a lot of people will take it out on themselves and they become very religious mindset, kind of captivated of having to be so pure that that's where they get their power from. And I know that because I went through that. I dealt with a lifetime a series of lust through pornography and anger and malice and rage, and I couldn't find myself to have power over the sin because I wanted to constantly do something to be sanctified. Like I had to do something to be sanctified. I had to fast to be sanctified. That's not what the Bible teaches you. You don't fast to be sanctified. You fast to have power over certain demonic powers. There's a difference. To be sanctified simply means to be washed under the blood of Jesus Christ, renewed in the washing and the regeneration of your mind. And so as you regenerate your mind with the word of God, the Spirit of God empowers you to rebuke the sin, and fasting is a reinforcement, is an enforcer of the word of God that rebukes the enemy, and it causes you to get out of things. So as a Christian, yes, we are called to fast. It's not if we are called to fast, it's when we are called to fast. That is what you need to know. But that's not in my notes. It's for a later time. If you are interested, I do have an academy online, awakeningtorevival.com/roarawakening. Roar Academy. To really talk about all of those things, the matters of how to train up a Christian, training a generation, launching people into their destiny, knowing the prophetic, knowing the apostolic, knowing the role of an office or a prophet or an evangelist, all of those things are in that academy. It goes on and on and on, simply because there's many people that cannot divide the word of God correctly, live by it, and understand it because the churches are digressing into what I would say seeker-sensitive types of things, and they want to make it fun and interesting, but they're not really speaking truth. And so there's a lot of times where we're listening to things that are not – we're not entertaining the Holy Spirit anymore. We're entertaining man. We're entertaining the ministry, but we're no longer in the governing of power of the authority. We're listening to man's opinions about the scriptures but having no power. We're taking on a form of godliness, what looks – like good ministry, what looks like a ministry from heaven, but denies the power, meaning they can no longer walk and function in the operation as the actual church itself. We need to get away from that. We need to get away from that, guys. Number three, sealed with the Holy Spirit. We talked about this a little earlier, that there is no junior Holy Spirit. There's no junior Holy Spirit. There's not even a Holy Spirit 1.0. You know, listen, do you remember when Vista and, like, Windows, Mac Pro, like, all these, they have these updates? I mean, who's got an iPhone? Hello. They got these updates that take forever, by the way, if you didn't know, to update. That was me trying to be funny. Sorry. Because literally, these updates take forever sometimes. And here's the thing. I say that for a reason. I was being funny, but I'm being serious. Do you think that God would seal you with the Holy Spirit and only give you Holy Spirit 1.0 when you're coming up against the wages of sin, when you're coming up against the principalities and the wickedness in dark places and high places, the devil and his schemes and his the entourage of the marine kingdom and all these things that people come up with? Listen, guys. Either we believe that Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit, who's really the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says that God himself is love and he is spirit. You know, it describes that he has a human form, but he didn't have flesh. Like, we have ears. We have ears because he has ears. We have feet because God has feet. We're made and created in his image, not the other way around. So God does have a form. He does have a body, but he did not have flesh. Meant that he had a spirit, but he did not have a mortal body. And so Jesus, being the word of God that backs up the spirit and bears witness in heaven, gave us an idea through Jesus Christ what God would look like on earth, and they called him Emmanuel. You know I'm teaching the word of God. Let me plow a little bit deeper. How would you feel if God, being a good father — I know this is gonna mess with somebody's theology real quick, but listen, would a good father give you only one shoelace and give you two, like a pair of shoes and only one shoelace. You're in a race. The Word of God says that you are in a race, that you're walking in the Spirit. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Holy Spirit's the one that gives you the power to walk in the Spirit of God, that guides you into truth, that gives you power over sin, why would Holy Spirit only be given to you in a measure, like a small measure? People say, well, if you got all of Jesus, if you got all of his measure, like all of his Spirit, you wouldn't know how to handle it. Are you kidding me? Is this what we've talked about in churches now? That now we have to like graduate to get the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Wrong. Sorry. That's not okay. That's false teaching, guys. When Jesus gave the Holy Spirit, he breathed on his disciples and it said they received Holy Spirit. Not 1.0, not Holy Spirit 2.0, not even Holy Spirit 12. Like, you know, now we have Windows 12. No, Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, when Adam breathed for the first time, he had the breath of the Holy Ghost inside of him. Hey, Ruach Shandabako, he had the authority and power to call things and to be things and name them. And then the birds of heaven and animals obeyed him. Hey, Shekerobo Shandabake, I'm talking about the Spirit of the living God living and dwelling amongst us, inside of us, for the days of our life. The goodness of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord is in us and is walking with us in the coolness of the day. Listen, people that tell you that you only have a measure of the Spirit of God is living in a place of denial. They're living in a place that they don't walk in the fullness, so therefore others can't walk in the fullness. Hey, Shanda Bekul, because they're still dealing with things that quench the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Ephesians 4:3 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Redemption, all right? Number four, shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that Matthew 5:14, he talks about this in the Beatitudes, that you are the light of the world. Now, in John chapter 1, and even into later chapters, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. Stop right there. Contrary to what he's saying, no. Jesus said that we're both. Why? We're made in the image of God, and Jesus himself is God. So how can we not look like him, and also how can we not be light like him? By quenching the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ in us. Holy Spirit is the spirit of the prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is Jesus Christ himself. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom to shine your light, to be sanctified, to be sealed in the Holy Ghost, saved by grace, and full of faith. Yes, that's what Christians look like, feel like, act like. Number four. I think I said number four twice, maybe five. Sorry about that. Serving with the Lord. We're laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. To be a Christian, you have to learn your portion and what you are called to do. To be a Christian, you have to know your portion and what you are laboring to do. God wants to co-labor with you. God wants you to inhabit land. He said the Word of God says that the meek shall inherit the land. If the meek is those who listen to God and are gentle at nature but are laborers, then God wants to labor in the new land. Somebody say new land. The terrain that God is showing you to journey into, to pioneer into, is called the new lands. This is actually a stepping stone into the apostolic training, because when God wants to build, he builds with his apostles. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your apostles and your prophets. How about slaves to the Lord? I know that sounds right. What? Yes, we were once slaves to sin, and now we are slaves of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, you are not of your own, for you have been bought with a price. That price is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood is what gave you the sanctificating rights to become a citizen of heaven, that because you begin to believe, you've been given the grace of God to enter to the presence of the Lord, that you have been now sealed with the Holy Ghost. And now that sealing has now allowed you to shine, because the real image who is inside of you has now become you. Listen, you are like Jesus. You are like Jesus, the sons and daughters. So you are the image of God. And when people see God, they see the light. They see the likeness and illumination of wisdom and counsel and power and authority and integrity. That's what it looks like to be a Christian. Many of us struggle with knowing what we should look like because we look at other people who walk in darkness but portray themselves as an angel of light, messengers of light. Get it? Listen, I'm going to go somewhere with this, guys. How come we do not know what a Christian should look like? Because we are entertaining angels of light, messengers that come with a convincing message, but it's a deceptive message that takes you from the foundations and actually causes the foundation to crack. And when issues like now, crisis, earthquakes, visitations, viruses, governmental shutdown, global pandemic, national persecution in certain places of the world. Hey, Shandobokorebeke, this bothers you. I'm sorry, but it's happening, okay? When these things are happening and there is nothing in you that centers you and that you cannot find the presence of God, there's something wrong with your temple. There's something wrong of who you've been entertaining. Because let me tell you something. If you minister to the door, to the Lord day and night, you cannot escape the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord will absolutely chase you down if you would just give him the time of day. I can tell you that there's even periods in my life that I would chase after God living in sin. I would live in sin and addiction, but still chase after God because I was so ready to be done. And there was moments in my life that I felt like he would come and talk to me even while I was in sin. I could hear the voice of the Lord, and the Lord would begin. He never just rebuked me in my ear. He never spoke down to me. He always loved on me, and he was always precious and kissing me with his words, and he always wooed me back. And then as I began to mature in him, then he began to talk with me plainly and strictly and gave me restrictions, not the law. He gave me restrictions like a good father would do. Do not get in the road when there are cars crossing it. Do not, when that girl crosses your path, do not follow her. When you turn on a stove, do not put your hand on the hot stove. It's pretty simple. But because of theology and eschatology and all these majors, all the people that think they know everything, the letter kills, spirit heals, the spirit reveals truth. So yes, even though the letter reveals the words of the Lord, it's the spirit that brings the words off the page to life. The Bible itself is not God. The Bible itself is not God. Listen to me very quick. The words inside of the Bible is the true and living God. The words of our gospel, of our book, the book that's called the Bible. They didn't call it the Bible when they were walking with Jesus. And if they did, I don't know how we would have known that, because there was no way to communicate that. What I'm trying to share with you is, what does it look like to be a Christian? And we need to get away from chasing after all these high-ranking, really big guys that we idolize all the time. And now, listen, most of those places are shutting down. We don't know if they're ever going to open back up. Hear me out, guys. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to put perspective on you. Have it ever occurred to you that you are the solution? Have you ever occurred to you that you're the church? that you're the son and the or the daughter, that you're the evangelist, maybe you're the prophet, maybe you're the apostle, maybe you're the shepherd, the teacher that God's been waiting for to move, to stand up and rise to the occasion. Hello. I'm saying this just simply because we are now slaves to him. We've been bought with a price. That means now that we've been bought with a price, we have to labor with him. We would want to labor with him after he's taken us out of such devastation that we've tried to build in our own life. How many times have I picked up a hammer in my life and tried to build something and it failed? Unless you build with the Lord, unless you let God build with you, your labor will be in vain. What does it mean to be a Christian? One would say in defining a Christian that he is in faith, a believer in Christ, in relationship, a child of God, in character, a saint, in influence, a light, in communion, a friend, in conflict, a soldier, in experience, a pilgrim, in expectation, an heir. I'm going to say that again. What is a Christian? One has said in defining a Christian that he is in faith, a believer in Christ, in relationship, a child of God, a saint, in influence, a light, in communion, a friend, in conflict, a soldier, in experience, a pilgrim, in expectation, an heir. I ask you again, what is a Christian? What does a Christian look like? I'm going to continue on. An awakened sinner. You know, with our ministry, Awakened to Revival, my whole heart is not always to be visible on stages, but honestly to educate and teach and, you know, give the scriptures and, you know, teach people the word of God upon the foundations and the bedrock of Jesus Christ. We want people to be awakened. We want people to understand that revival is coming and they need to be prepared. That revival is going to go right to their doorstep. We don't need to run to the next revival meeting. We don't need to run to the next revivalist or whatever they call themselves. I don't really go by the term revivalist, but we do carry revival inside of us. We don't have to chase revivalists down. You are one, are a revivalist. If you have Jesus Christ in you, you can bring dead things back to life. The question is do you believe it? And the question is, do you live the life that qualifies for you to do such things in heaven? That's the question. Do you still compromise your life and live in sin? Do you still live a life that's contrary to the Bible? Do you still live a life that's contrary to the nature of God? If so, you're right where you're supposed to be. God is not finished with you. God is perfecting your work until the very end. And God is going to use you to do great things in front of masses because God is not a liar. He's not a man that he would lie. Greater work shall you do, Jesus Christ said. So don't give up on yourself. Don't feel heavy, but to know that we must be awakened to who we are. And this next few statements I'm going to make are from a part of Roar Academy. Again, I said, if you guys are interested, please visit the website awakeningthroughrevival.com/Roar Academy. Roar Academy. What we're doing right now, our big picture is to see people in prisons and even other ministries to really be able to give education, to give people the understanding to where to go in the Bible. There's many places in the world and there's many places even in America. You'd be surprised how many people I know that don't know scriptures in the Bible. They know it in their heart, but they don't know where to dig. They don't know how to study the word. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to go deeper. And people are hungry. I believe Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. So my big thing is to not only feed their mind, feed their body, but also feed their spirit. Yes, I'm big in nutrition. Yes, I'm big with working out and being in part of fitness and wellness. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, if our soul is not right with God, then everything else is in vain. And so that's why I launched my academy on my website, and our ministry is to really feed the spiritually poor. To be spiritually poor, God wants to fill you up and make you hungry for righteousness. And to do that, there must be a messenger of righteousness and goodness and truth, the fruit of the Holy Spirit outlined in Ephesians chapter 5. That's my mandate, to stand in the gap of people and educate and teach and empower them and edify them and challenge their perspective, mentor them. That's my hope. That maybe one day we look around and we actually raised up a generation of young believers that will take the land back over. Maybe we will no longer start doing the same things over and over again like the Israelites did, constantly complaining and never and eventually walking away from the mindset that there are no miracles that God could do anymore, that they forgot about what God would do. Number one, an awakened sinner. A Christian is one who has been convinced of his sinfulness and the guilt as a sinner before God, as seen in the burden Christians back. The Christian that we should understand to be like a Christian, we should know that it's a burden on our back to carry the guilt, to carry the sin and the shamefulness when God has lifted that from us. We need to be awakened to the problem or awakened to the idea that there's many Christians walking around here that believe in Christ but are not free. We need to be awakened about our sin. Number two, a trustful person. A Christian is one who has come to the Savior. And Christian coming up into a picket gate or entering into the path that leads them therein, like Matthew 11:3-8 or Matthew 28, we have to come to the Savior. We have to go through the narrow gate. We have to allow ourselves to understand that we are not only just trusting in the Lord, but we also must become trustworthy of the Lord, trustworthy of his word, trustworthy of who we are, trustworthy to other people. Number three, we must become righteous. We must become a righteous one. A Christian is one that is clothed in the garment of righteousness, as we see in Christians, they're being clothed at the cross. Second Corinthians 5:21. Okay? We also must become laborers. I said this earlier, an earnest worker. A Christian is one who is concerned about the welfare of others. As an illustration, that is a Christian going up and seeking to arouse the simple, sloth, and the presumptuous. We have to be the ones that look out for others, and we have to be able to hold other people to accountability. And we must work after the things that God has called us to work after. Number five, a communing companion. A Christian is one who is a companion with the people of God. You're not an island. You're not a prophet that should be isolated and think you're too good to talk to everybody. You're not the apostle who's above everybody and don't have to talk to no one. You're not the evangelist who just travels the world and just seeks to go after souls and don't have to be held accountable to anybody else. Hey, you believe it? There are some people here that actually believe that they are too good for the church. They're too good to fellowship. Number six, a dominated believer. to dominate in your faith. To dominate means that you are controlled by the Word of God. To be dominated by the Spirit of God. It means that the Word of God must dominate your life. As seen as a Christian consulting into his role, a true Christian receives the whole of the Bible, of God's Word, and dares not utter such blasphemy as a free church that only lives by a couple concepts, only lives by one scripture, or only like their whole entire ministry is based out of one scripture. See many, many, many churches that are birthed out of only one scripture, but then when godly men and women impose a question to their theology, now we have become heretics. We've been called rogues. I'm just sharing the truth about the church worldwide, that there are people that are in leadership that should be absolutely out of leadership because they have been given this portion, this measure, and because of wealth and because of fame and some of these ideas that we think that they live a great life, they're actually the giant that's in front of the real bride, and the bride has become stagnant and no longer willing to fight for what's real, to be in the body of Christ. And so we have allowed, this is why the scripture talks about, that you've tolerated Jezebel. Jezebel dominated the faith, the temple, the kingdom realm. She dominated the king's authority. She dominated the decree. She falsified documents to get a man killed. Hey, how many people's faith have been destroyed by pastors? Better yet, how many women or men have been either molested, used, gaslighted, manipulated? How many people? And I'm not going against the church. I'm just going against certain people that have lived a lifestyle of sin that think it's still okay. And I'm hoping that I can say that worldwide. To be a preserving saint, one must continue in the way of holiness. As illustration in the perseverance of Christians, lions may frighten him, doubt may lead him into captivity, and flattery may ensnare him, but he keeps on going. Sometimes we go through things in our life, and yes, we fall off. Yes, we make mistakes. Is anyone perfect? No, not one. But all have failed. All have sinned. All are guilty before God. Either in mind or in deed. In heart, does not matter. You must become a preserving one, one that does not tire easily, one that will endure during a tribulational season, and that will not grow weary during good seasons. Listen to me carefully. One that will preserve themselves and endure through tribulational seasons, one who will not grow weary in good seasons, or in another terminology, due seasons when the harvest is ripe. One is to build your character, the other is to reap. Don't miss your opportunity to become a better Christian and to reap the benefits of living for a God who honors you. Hey, Shandabaku. Both can be troubling. That's why you have to preserve. You have to learn how to be preserving in the times of tribulation and while you're waiting for the harvest to come. Number eight, a confessing pilgrim. A Christian is one who confesses that he is a pilgrim and a stranger, like depicting a Christian passing through a place that's not his own. Listen, don't you know that we are not of this world, that we are citizens and heaven. We are passing through. If you don't see yourself in this world as a stranger, live for Jesus Christ one day radically. I mean, everywhere you go, mention Jesus. Everywhere you go, you pray for somebody. Everywhere you go, you talk about somebody with a scripture. Everywhere you go, live like a radical Christian, and I guarantee you, while you're driving away into the sunset, you'll absolutely believe, God, I don't belong here. You'll absolutely believe it, that you do not belong in this world. Why? Because you are no longer of this world. You must, in doing that, being a professing pilgrim passing through, you must be a courageous traveler. Listen, a Christian learns to travel in the spirit and must be like a Joshua and be courageous and take over the land. A Christian is one who courageously pushes on in the midst surrounding difficulties. As an illustration, a Christian passing through the valley of the shadow of death, like Psalms 23, verse 4. Yo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This virus and this manipulation and the fear-mongering and the earthquakes is all the valley of dry bones and death. And we must not fear them. We are passing through. Do you hear me? You're passing through. Must be like a conquering soldier. 1 John 5:18. As a Christian is one who conquers his enemies, as seen in the fight of a Christian with Apollyon, the destroyer. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God has given you the ability, life and life more abundantly, to absolutely conquer the land and conquer your enemies. Like David, he put his feet upon the necks of his enemy. What does it look like to be a Christian? To conquer your enemies. To be courageous. To be a pilgrim passing through. To preserve yourself, to preserve your energy, to become wise during times of tribulation. And don't burn out when times of a harvest is coming in. Be patient. Hallelujah. I'm praying that this is opening the minds of what it's like to be a Christian. I got one last one and then I'll leave you alone. I promise. I'll leave you alone. I hope that this is awakening you. I hope that this is building a fire inside of you. I hope that it is giving you the unction and the quickening of the Holy Spirit that comes and works inside of you, that creates a voice that imitates the sound of God, that echoes the voice of the Lord. That you would roar into the land of America, roar into the land of the nations, and that you would begin to move under the anointing of God. Where Jesus Christ goes, shall you go and do greater works. We must become an expectant contemplator. An expectant contemplator. A Christian is one who contemplates with the delight, the prospect of heaven's glory, as represented in the pilgrims on delicate mountains, right? We're living in delicate times, guys, but we must stay in the perspective that we must contemplate on all these things that God has waiting for us in heavenly places, in the glory. Listen, it says, look to things that are of heaven, to contemplate on things that are not earthly but heavenly, delightful. If we set our minds to the things of above, this is how we are able to look at these mountains in our lives and things that are crumbling and crisis and still have the hope of glory inside of us. To be a Christian, we must be awakened. We must be trustworthy. We must become righteous ones. We must be workers of the kingdom of heaven. We must be a communion camper or a companion to camp about with people and fellowship with them. We must allow the Holy Spirit to dominate us by the word of God, that our vessels would be completely submitted to them. And to be a preserving saint means that we would walk in a place of holiness, even though we come through a place of doubt and through flattery that may ensnare them or lines that might fright us, but we keep going. In those times, there might be a place where we're learning character or that we're reaping what we sow. Either way, you stay on a path of holiness. That is what a Christian looks like. A person who confesses that they're just passing through, that they take themselves not lightly, but that they would take themselves seriously, and that you would give people the message of Jesus Christ seriously. You're not just going to a soul and hoping that you have a soul won and don't take yourself seriously. Guys, listen, that's not how it works here. Not here. People's lives are in danger or at stake. So when you can't do it, it's okay that you can't confront somebody and walk them through salvation, or that you can't lay hands on them. One day that you will. One day maybe you're just still praying and you're still interceding, and all you're doing right now is reading your word of God. You're going to church or you're praying to God, and God is moving in your life and he's doing things. That's okay. Your time is coming. But for some of us who travel, or we might have mistakes, we might do some things, we might pray for people that are to get healing and they don't get healed, it doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It doesn't mean that you're not right with God if you pray for the person and they don't get healed. It's okay if you speak prophetically and it doesn't make sense and it doesn't resonate with you or them. It doesn't mean that you're not a Christian if you preach and no one listens to you. It doesn't mean that. It simply means that you're a pilgrim passing through, and it shows you that you do not belong in this world. But God has put you in this world, and he says that you are here for such a time as this, and that before you were even birthed, he knew you. He knitted you in your mother's womb. Before the foundations of the earth began, before they were even created, he knew you. You got to be courageous, and you got to be like a conquering soldier, taking on the necks of your enemies with your boots. You must be ready to fight the destroyer, because God will try to destroy your call and your destiny on this earth, on this planet, because he sees the power and the authority that has been given to you, that you look just like the God that he rebelled. You are a child of God. You are an heir of God. You are redeemed. You have the influence. You are a soldier. You are the temple of the living God. You are an instrument for God to use. You are an ambassador to represent heaven, and you are a new creation in Christ. That is what a Christian is and should look like. Thank you guys for so much for coming and tuning in and listening for just that quick moment for about an hour. Thank you for taking that time out and listening and getting into the Word of God and digging deep into the foundations. Listen, I am your host. Until next time, we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep pressing in. We're going to continue to grow. Hey, guys, if you are interested, we are continuing. We are ministering. We are going to continue to move forward with our ministry despite of coronavirus and all these other things. So what we've decided to do in this season is to continue to connect with people and open up prayer hubs, fire hubs. Internationally, if you're listening to me worldwide, if you are interested, I need you to do me one favor. If you want to partner with us and become a part of our fire hub group, then I need you to understand that you'd have to go and register absolutely free. We do accept donations to help us grow and expand in our ministry, but it's not depending on if you sow or not. Listen, go to awakeningtorevival.com/HOF. That's right, HOF, awakeningtorevival.com. H, that is houses of fire. That's right, House of Fire. We're creating a network of people with Awakening to Revival, this ministry, to awaken the land and bring revival in through fire of the hubs of fire, people that are going to be praying in their homes. Listen, God wants us to be in touch with our home state. The heart is where the home is, guys. Listen, if we're not right in our home, we won't be right in the streets. Listen, some of us have been behind pulpits but are preaching from two different types of pulpits in their own home. We need to get right in our homes. So God said, Mark 11:17, is it not written that the nations of the world should be known as houses of prayer? We need to pray for our nation again. America, if you're listening to me, wake up. Mark 11:17 says this nation should be a house of prayer. Make this your time. Connect with us now. All of my international listeners, I want to thank you for hanging in and sitting tight with me. But if you are also interested in signing up, please hit awakeningtorevival.com/HOF. Amen. Hallelujah. And the last thing, we are also doing prophetic art. That's right. I said it, prophetic art. Time to get excited. It's springtime. We're bored. We're quarantined. We got nothing else better to do but paint and pray to the Lord. Holy Ghost. And send it to houses that are on fire for the glory of God. Send it to your boss who doesn't believe in Jesus. Give them a painting. Hey, if you're interested, I want you to do one thing. Could get on that website, awakeningtorevival.com/prophetic art. Look up prophetic art. And my dear partner, my dear friend and partner in crime, I would say partner in crime because we're not of this world. We're like criminals to the world. But she is very, very, Rachel is very artistic at nature when it comes to encountering the Lord and then painting. Visual pictures and art and things of that nature. So if you're interested, you can get a personal prophetic art. We could ship it to you. Internationally, unfortunately, we're not able to send those things yet, but we are working on expanding our terrain. So if there's anything that you guys can be praying for, pray that God begins to expand our turf and bring finances that we're able to reach different nations. We would love to continue to have a podcast every day. We would love to be able to minister and go into places and begin to publish our manuals and books from the academy. We would love to be able to grow and expand and reach more people, not because others are doing it, but because of what God is doing with us seems very special and very precious that I cannot allow other people not to be a part of. It's a beautiful season. It's a beautiful time to be in this year, the 2020. It's the year of the mouth. It's the year of the roar. It's time to be bold as lions, that we no longer run from our enemy. And I just encourage you guys to look straight at your journey, straight ahead. Be pioneers of the faith and don't lose hope. What does a Christian look like? It looks like you. You are the solution. Get out of your pet sins. Repent. Go back to your first love. Begin to burn for him again. And until next time, guys, this is Roar Awakening. I am Daniel Byzewski. We love you guys. We're praying for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.